Welcome to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. We are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. Today, we are live at FinTech Connect in the Excel Centre, London, 2023. Amandeep Kaur, Jita, Delivery Director, Banking Sector for NTT Data, joins us on this special episode. She is here to share how she walks the talk for inclusion in our sector and what more she wants done. Welcome, Amandeep. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Nadia. I'm really honoured to be here today. Thank you.
I'm super excited about this conversation, and I think a good place to start is if you can tell us a little bit more about your role.
Of course. I'm a Delivery Director for NTT Data. I joined the banking sector about 4 months ago, and I take the ownership of all delivery across investment banks.
Amazing. And what about NTT Data? Tell us a bit more about them.
So NTT Data are a consulting house. We support clients with strategic consulting, supporting their technology needs, enabling experience that transforms organisations, and we can support all of the requirements to help shape your business. So,
and tell us a bit more about your career, because I love the fact that you're quite new to the banking sector, and what I've loved in some of our prep talks is the stuff that you've noticed. But before we get into that, tell us a bit more about your background.
So I'm a seasoned IT professional. I've been working in IT as a woman in tech for over 15 years. Prior to joining NTT over a year and a half ago, I worked within the manufacturing sector for the automotive industries. Looked after a number of key technologies, SAP, databases, all of the Microsoft technology suite. So a varied skill set and varied roles, but every sector comes in its own challenges. So it's exciting to be in banking, but also seeing the similarities around things that still haven't changed is just something that's interesting to see at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we're going to delve into that in a minute. I'm really interested to hear you talk about challenges, because I know that you faced some personal challenges across your career and your life, and you just didn't give up on your goals. Like, I find you such an inspiration. I love your story. I just want you to share with our audience just even a little bit of where that determination has come from.
Thank you. I unfortunately haven't had the easiest of journeys. I always was passionate about IT, and it was from a young age I wanted to move into the IT sector. I got married, I had an arranged marriage young. Fortunately, that didn't work out, and there was a lot of resistance for me to continue in IT, so I had a bit of a digress, and I went into the beauty sector. But after overcoming my own personal issues, I moved back into IT, which I love. And the challenges that I faced in my personal and professional career, they were difficult. At times, I would be contemplating giving up work because the challenge of work-life balance, being determined and continuing to move forward, sometimes gets to a point where you think, is it really worth it? But I believe it is. I'm still here, and I'm going to continue to fight to promote women to continue in their IT journeys. It is rewarding if you stay consistent and persistent and have aspirations. That's the key thing. Is I had comments previously in my journey when I was not getting the promotions that I deserved or getting the reward or recognition, was that I was too aspirational, which I found hilarious at the time.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as being too aspirational. When you don't have an aspiration, I don't see what the goal, what's the next challenge. So I think it's very important to have an idea of where you want to go, map out how you want to get there. If you don't have the direct route into doing that, look to mentoring, coaching. Yeah. I'm looking to support other organisations to fulfil that. But two articles around imposter syndrome. Even now in my career as a director, I am constantly questioning myself around, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Do I match up to my peers? Even though I know I'm excelling every role, I will give it 110% just because that's what my makeup is. But I think that women always question themselves because we have other parts of our life around, family, other personal reasons why you come out of work and then go back into it. That shouldn't be a blocker. In this day and age, organisations are doing a lot around flexible working, about returning back into work, and also to allow you to move sideways, not stick to one tech stack. So I think that where I started off in my career, there wasn't that opportunity, but now there's a lot out there, so we should never give up. I'm doing a lot to try and grow women into organisations, see that representation across the board, and then equally at the C-suite and leadership levels. I think that to me is when we can truly see men and equal playing field. So yeah, that's where my aspiration and drive comes from, is to, you've got to keep going, otherwise what is it about? I've got 3 daughters, so for me I have to be that role model. They see that it's not okay to just sprint through life. You should have some ambition, you should want to become something, be successful, be able to meet your partner at the table to support each other through your family, because it's difficult in this day and age. So why not have needs and wants an idea of how you see your life and keep going towards it. So I think that aspirations are key.
Yeah, super powerful. I love that story that you've taken us through, because you're absolutely right. Like, how dare anybody say, oh, your aspirations are too big? It just seems madness, especially as you say, in this day and age, and in the tech industry and in the fintech and financial services industry. Like, we're all about progression, moving forward at such a rate. Why would an individual not be moving forward? So I love that you've shared that. You are totally committed to making this space, in your words, easier for women starting their career. And I know you've been quite active at different events. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I'm a big advocate for diversity, equity, inclusion, just because I was always the token female taken to a meeting or taken to a client presentation, just because of aesthetically the way I look, and also ticking the box, cultural diversity and being a female. I suppose it's a bit of a win. I think my personal ambition is to make it easier for women to come into IT and then continue in IT until they meet their aspiration, and then obviously decide how they want to continue that. I see a lot in organisations where we're not doing enough to nurture, to look at that initial pipeline. So I'm starting to do a little bit of work with University of City Birmingham, where we are doing a pilot. With UCB, it's universities non-redbrick, so already these children that are going to these academic houses don't have the same things that we take for granted as a given. So to give opportunities to people that have already overcome some challenges to get to their education, give them an option where they can select an employer, work for an employer, and then build their own careers. I think that was key, because if you have an opportunity right from the offset, you're more likely to then stay with that organisation and then grow with that organisation. It's easy to hire in at senior levels and then tick the box about gender diversity, but if you're not growing your talent right from the bottom, are you really satisfying the marker around gender diversity? Because you've got a few people at MD level or director level, or even at C-suite. What about everybody in between, and what about the ground level? If you have at least 50% at each of those levels in your organisation, that's when any company can say that they've met the equal playing field. Yeah. So for me, I'm really passionate about spreading awareness. I co-chair the Women's Business Network. I sit on the steering committee for our Cultures Network. I'm also an ambassador for the Women in Tech Awards in Birmingham. Mm. So I'm a judge, and I'm a previous winner in 2019. I won a Shining Star Award. So all of these things is giving me that push to say, be the inspiration, be the role model, but pave the way. I don't want to sit in a role and then block other women. I'd happily give up my role, move sideways to allow other female and other diverse individuals to move up. Because if I didn't have that opportunity, does that mean I'm going to put the blocker? This is what I've seen as well, is when there are women in senior positions, they become comfortable where they don't want to allow people. They've got to that level and that's it, but that shouldn't be the case. We should be paving the way, supporting others, mentoring, coaching. I think that, to me, is when I can see people that I've brought into an organisation on these pathways and these growth programmes successful in their careers. That's success to me.
I feel proud.
Even the youngsters that I mentor today, it's just so overwhelming to see them get really good roles, getting positive feedback. And you just feel that you've done a little bit towards making that change.
Yeah, absolutely. And you spoke quite a bit earlier around an equal playing field. What are the key factors to that within an office, and what should people be looking out for?
I think just looking in the banking sector, we can go back to as most recently, I think, to the event that we're at today. Fortunately, there's still an obvious demographic that is in play if you can look around an office and see that there's two women on a floor of 200, is that equal? Why isn't the organization seeing this? And when it comes to PR and all of the great stuff that companies are doing around, let's make noise around D&I, but are they actually making a change? You might have a CIO who's a female, but everywhere else in your organization, you've got a single female in your department. Is that really equal? And you haven't got characteristics and also different abilities. You don't see that enough in an office. And we know that if you have a varied team, you've probably got the most productive team because everybody comes with their own ideas, their own backgrounds, their own ways to take an impact on the project. If you've got the same type of person, there's going to be that one view of how to deliver things. So I think that until you can look around the floor and see equal diversity, having people from every gender, including non-specific gender, and abilities, that's when you can really say we've ticked the box for D&I, which I, unfortunately, in both manufacturing and in banking, have not seen. And it's unfortunate, but I think there's still so much more to do in this space. And this year itself, I've seen that it's regressed a little bit. There may have been quite a lot of work that's been done over COVID and in recent years, but this year I'm just seeing that when the market's declining, it's always the people that then belong to these characteristics, like that diverse genders and gender, diverse backgrounds, they're the ones that will be the easy people to move out of an organization, which isn't fair. How is that fair? You know, if you've got people on in a project that are not suited or are more costly, there's ways of maybe retraining when you've got other opportunities open. Why aren't organizations looking at that? But I think that when we come to events like this to see, even today, I can see there's a lot of females here, but there's not enough. There's not an equal number of females here. It's great to see you guys here and to be able to come along.
Still a lot of work to do, and it's great that you're doing so much of it, but it can't all rest on your shoulders or the marginalised shoulders. We need everybody to be involved in this. I'm a big advocate for inclusion, including everybody. A lot of people who listen to this podcast, they know that I always say, let's walk the talk. And often they'll say, okay, how can I walk the talk? What would be your advice to anyone, not necessarily a senior person within a business, but anyone within a business, to try a better inclusion within their workplace?
So I think one thing that I used to see a lot is when key techs are a technical team, you have a varied team from different backgrounds. Are you giving the opportunity for everybody to speak at that table? Because go to meetings and certain people would lack confidence. I worked with a lot of people from nearshore and offshore where they just don't have the language confidence to be able to communicate effectively in English. Actually, they shy away and become reserved. But I've encouraged people to say, okay, what do you like to say? Is there anything? Nobody's going to judge you here. If you could say, do you agree? Do you not agree? Is there anything that you'd like to add differently? In every level, are you including everybody that's part of your team? Are you doing enough to make that person feel involved in your team? Similarly, like when I've moved into the banking sector, we've gone through various integrations, and I've met so many great people, but they were client-based. And unfortunately, they've been forgotten a little bit, and they've been disconnected from entity. So we're doing a proactive engagement with them to say, you are actually part of the bigger NTT. You're not just working on the clients. So don't feel isolated. I'm here. We're here. Come along to our offices. Come to our events and be part of the one NTT dream that we have. So I think that my advice would be get to know the people around you. Talking to people. I think it's already been difficult because of COVID. People have naturally become isolated. Work from home doesn't always help if you don't have a good ecosystem around you. But you may have someone sitting next to you that you just don't talk to that could have a solution to a problem that you could be working on at work. And just having that communication and moving out of your comfort zone and making others feeling good, and also to make yourself known and network, I think that makes a really big difference. And then you can probably find a new opportunity, find ways of sharing ideas and probably make some really good friends in the making. So I think that's what I see as inclusion is, know the people around you, network, let every voice be heard.
We're here, we're at FinTech Connect today. It's great that we're doing this in person. I love FinTech Connect. I think it's a great environment to to build that network, build that community. What have you seen from today so far? And what you look
it's been great to see all of the organisations here spreading awareness about fintech and the opportunities and solutions that are. I really enjoy being here. And
amazing.
To see you guys as well. So thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. It's been great having you on Fintech's DEI discussions. Let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.